Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Our mission is to equip you in truth with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment as a foundation for experiencing the authentic Christian life through fellowship with God and Christ. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, a brand new edition of the Christian Research Institute's flagship magazine, the Christian Research Journal, hot off the press, available. You can find it on the web at equip.org. You can subscribe there. You can also subscribe at box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The cover story is based on an article by Jay Richards. In fact, it is an article by Jay Richards titled "Why Marxism and Socialism Always Fail." And Jay points out that in 2017, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Russian Revolution. Of course, led by Vladimir Lenin, an angry intellectual. And that revolution took the lives of multiplied millions of people. So many Christian leaders killed as a direct result of that revolution. Well, a year ago, 2018, there were celebrations worldwide for the 200th birthday of Karl Marx. I want to say 2000 because it is so antiquated, but it's only 200 years ago. Karl Marx was communicating that we were going to create the ideal man in an ideal society. And he is still lauded by American titans today. I think of Michael Moore, the capitalist who has made over $50 million. He tweeted, "Happy 200th birthday, Karl Marx. You believed that the greed of the rich would bring us all down. You knew that the super wealthy were out to grab whatever they could." And by the way, let me say parenthetically that I have known some of the world's super wealthy, people with large foundations, many of whom dedicated to give away their wealth, to use their wealth, to take care of the downtrodden and the needy, to fund Christian ministries and much, much more. Michael Moore simply doesn't know what he's talking about. It is an absolute disgrace to see what he is lauding as virtuous, for it is not. And unfortunately, he's impacting the hearts and minds of many who are quite simply duped by his rhetoric. Well, this year, we should know just how awful it is to idolize Marx. And that's why we have this cover story in the Christian Research Journal. Marx, of course, was a materialist. His paradigm forced him to apprehend history as a long string of struggles between the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, with justice determined by the state owning all industry, and even that ultimately morphing into the brotherhood of man, living in perfect peace and harmony. You know, it's sort of akin to what Mao said, we're going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Of course, the reality is socialism only works in heaven where you don't need it, in hell where Satan and his minions have already instituted it. The truth of the matter is socialism will never work because socialism has to work with depraved human beings. With socialists like Bernie Sanders and a host of socialist contenders, the 2020 election cycle will no doubt see Marx's failures recast as nostalgic expectations for future success. It's going to work here. It's never worked anywhere else, but it's going to work in America. It is just numbing to hear Bernie Sanders' ignorance on this subject. At least one out of three young voters imagines socialism as a panacea, which includes cradle-to-grave health care and job security and, of course, thrown in to boot a quarter of every year on well-paid vacation. The truth is, socialism means the abolition of private property, the means of production owned by the state. And when have you ever seen the state be effective with its programs? In essence, modern proponents of socialism are not only recasting it in unrealistic and idyllic terms, but they're ignorant of history and they remain blithely unaware of the havoc that socialism has wreaked and is wreaking around the world. And then again, this is the reason that we produced this article by Jay Richards in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. There are many great articles, but if you haven't subscribed, this would be a great time to do that. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. I thought I'd make the quote of the day, the definition of socialism given by Merriam-Webster, who said socialism is a way of organizing a society in which major industries are owned and controlled by the government rather than by individual people and companies. It is a system in which there are no secure property rights. Well, with that, let's go to the phone lines. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK. Hank, Chad in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Hank. Thanks again for your ministry and all you're doing out there. I've got a question. It says in the book of, I guess I'll start with the New Testament first, but it says in Matthew 16, you know, about regarding binding and loosing, mm-hmm. where Jesus is talking to Peter, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the book of Job, in chapter 38, you know, the Lord in talking to Job, he asks him in one of his questions, he says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus in with his sons?" And I was just wondering, like, because Job didn't have access, you know, like we don't have access to Matthew in the book of Job. But, you know, in the sort of the complete, you know, Bible, we do. And it just raised a question in my mind, you know, can we bind, you know, these sweet influences of Pleiades and loose the bands, you know, in Christ, you know, through faith in God's word? And if so, you know, I'm just curious to get your answer.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things I would say about that. The first thing is that all of Scripture is inspired by God. And so the God who inspired Matthew is also the God who inspired the book of Job. Secondly, the point of Job is that God is supreme and sovereign over the affairs of humanity. And so there are all kinds of examples given when God breaks his silence and he thunders out of the storm. And he talks about how the heavens are vast and who could possibly create them but the one who inspired the writing of the book of Job. Who could create a drop of dew Who creates the water pots? I mean, there's all kinds of metaphorical language that is used in the book of Job, but it is to show that God is supreme and sovereign over the affairs of the world. Now, with respect to binding and loosing, yes, humans are not authorized anywhere in Scripture to bind or loose Satan. Even the archangel Michael did not tackle Satan on his own. Despite having wisdom and power, he called on God to rebuke Satan. Christians should never suppose that they're smart enough to engage Satan on their own. Only the God who created the heavens and the earth is the one who can take an angel whose malice has been sharpened over the years, who knows us intimately and knows exactly what our foibles are. We're coming to a station break. We'll be right back in a moment. The number to dial to get your answers, your questions answered on the Bible Answers Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK.
Virtually all Christians agree that God has made himself known through revelation. Through the prophets and through his word, God has spoken to humanity. Yet what many fail to grasp is that Jesus, as God incarnate, is the ultimate self-revelation of God. To grasp how truly mind-boggling the incarnation is, you won't want to miss Hank Hanegraaff's book by that name, Incarnation. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to our phone callers. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Kevin in Apple Valley, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. Question. You just made a statement, if I heard you correctly, about us not being able to fight the devil. Doesn't that disagree with the scripture that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you? And yeah. I will hang up and wait for your answer, sir.
Okay, thank you. Well, let me give you some context. Of course, we're talking in context of the last call I took in the last segment about binding and loosing. And I'm pointing out that this has nothing whatsoever to do with demons. When Jesus told the disciples, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and that was the passage, Matthew 16, that the caller quoted, he wasn't talking about demons, but he was talking about discipline. In other words, in the context of church discipline, those who repent are to be loosed. In other words, they are to be restored to fellowship. But those who persist in sin are to be bound. They are to be removed from fellowship. Demons are totally foreign to the context, and that was my point. But I also made this point that humans are not authorized anywhere in the Bible to bind or loose Satan. And my warrant for saying that is the example of the archangel Michael, who didn't tackle Satan on his own. He had wisdom and power, but yet called on God to rebuke Satan. And my point is simply that Christians should never suppose that they're smart enough to engage Satan on their own. They, like Michael, ought to pray the Lord rebuke you. And there's another point that could be made here, and that is, well, it makes sense to ask the Lord to bind the power of demons in the sense of thwarting their plans to undo us. To lose Satan and his minions makes no sense at all. Thus, common sense alone should be enough to convince us that biblically binding and loosing has nothing whatsoever to do with demons. Now, I could expand on the point that was alluded to as well with respect to what's going on in the book of Job. And as I've pointed out many, many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the book of Job is a literary masterpiece, and we have to understand the book of Job not in the sense of dinosaurs being present in Job 40 and 41, but recognize that Job serves as a literary polemic. It's a written indictment against the gods of ancient Near Eastern mythology. And not only were pagans literally supplanted by people of the promise, but their mythological narratives were literally supplanted by the grand meta-narrative of the Bible, the overarching story of Scripture. So in Scripture, it's not Baal who destroys Satan or the writhing serpent, but Yahweh who crushed the heads of Leviathan. And thus, through literary subversion, God recasts pagan myth in a manner that corresponds to reality. God is sovereign over the affairs of humankind. And therefore, we always rely in God and not in the arm of strength. So even if we say we can take a problem, a mountain in our life, and cast it into the midst of the sea, we have to always recognize that that is under the umbrella of having faith in God. If you have faith in God, which is precisely the context of the passage in Mark 7, Then you can say to the mountain, be moved, and thrown in the midst of the sea, for with God all things are possible. So we cannot be presumptive in our own power, in our own might. It's also crucial to note that the literary progression of Job is part of the masterpiece. So you have 30-plus chapters of rambling human speculation, and God answers Job out of the storm and, in essence, asks Job if he'd like to try his hand at running the universe for a little bit. As I mentioned, you have this famed passage, who fathers the drops of dew? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens? Do you give the horse his strength? Does the eagle soar at your command? Does Behemoth, who ranks first among the works of God, or the sea dragon, can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook? So the literary progression here moves from creation to creatures, to a cherub who once ranked first in the order of creation. And I think that literary progression once again shows that Satan is supremely brilliant. He has made, he's made a career out of understanding humanity. He knows our weaknesses. He knows exactly where we're vulnerable. And therefore, we have to trust in God. Again, the arm of God is much longer and stronger than the arm of man. And so every day when I pray, I place my faith and trust in God alone. So to Job, the primal monster of the land, like the primal monster of the sea, was indomitable. But to God, Behemoth and Leviathan were like mere pets on a divine leash. And so in this literary progression of the Bible, the monster is vanquished. You have Isaiah saying, Leviathan, the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling serpent, will slay the monster of the sea. In interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture, then, the literary personification of Satan becomes readily apparent. In Genesis, he's presented as this alluring serpent that tempts humanity to fall into lies of perpetual sin, terminated by death. In Psalms, he is portrayed as a multi-headed monster opposing the purposes of God. In Isaiah, he's a coiling serpent that emerges out of the primal water. And in Revelation, a red dragon that personifies the extremities of evil. My point here is to say Leviathan and Behemoth are not dinosaurs. They are personifications that illustrate a metaphysical reality. The mythology of the dragon underscores the reality of the devil, and the devil is defeated by God. Now, Kevin also mentioned James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But the way in which we are to resist the devil is of quintessential importance. The way is given in that very same context. So why is it that I say over and over again on the Bible Answer Men broadcast, context, context, context? We need to understand the entire context of the Scripture to understand its individual passages, and its individual passages to understand the entire context of Scripture. But we also have to understand the immediate context. And in this case, what does the context tell us? Well, it tells us to submit to God, to resist the devil, and when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. To draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. To cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So again, there's a context that's critical for us to tap into. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Stuart in Danville, Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Stuart.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay. Hey, actually, I wanted to ask you one thing also. I know you're going to cancer treatment. Are you on Keytruda or are you on something else?
Well, I'm on Rituxan, Bendamustine, and let's see, what is the other one? The other one is Cytarabine. Those are the three chemos that I'm taking. I'll be taking them again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine. He's got some kind of lung or something. What kind of problem did you have? What was it? I have stage four
mantle cell lymphoma, which is at this point not curable from a human standpoint, but you can go into remission for long periods of time. And
right.
In my case, I've gone into remission twice, and then the tumors have come back, and now I'm going to get a more curative solution as soon as I'm in remission again. But to your question quickly, because we only have a few seconds.
Yeah, I was going to ask about gambling. I have heard people say, you know, lottery. I mean, I've been a believer since 1991, but I still struggle with, no, I don't really gamble, so to speak, but I'm also an inventor, so I'm working on my invention.
You know what, Stuart? Let me say something really quickly because I only have a few seconds. Gambling glorifies chance, and I think there's a real danger in doing that. And you know, the as Proverbs says, the money that comes in quickly also vanishes very quickly as well. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.